Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 369, Rich in Christ. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, May 5th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay, we're going to jump right in. Since we have communion message as well, we're going to take communion today. So I'm going to not do a really lengthy introduction. We're going to jump right into the Word of God. And I'll start by asking you this question. Who are you? If I were to ask you, who are you? You know, a lot of times we answer that question with having to do with our role. You know, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a, you know, your occupation, I'm a teacher, I'm a this, I'm a that. Or descriptions of yourself, maybe physical or maybe like your personality. But Jesus, from his word, the Lord, has something deeper to say to us today about who we are. If you have asked Jesus into your heart, if you've asked him to be your Lord and Savior, then we have an identity that's so rich, much beyond the role that you play, the things that you do, your appearance or your personality. We have such a rich inheritance from the Lord. And that's what he has put on my heart to share with us today. And this is important. Why I'm going to tell you why you should pay attention, why you should listen to this message today, is because if we don't know who we are in Christ, then we're going to be blown around by every wind, right? There's lots of teaching out there. There's lots of doctrine. There's lots of theories, lots of different ideas. And we need to be rooted and grounded in who God has called us to be in Christ Jesus, right? And that's the key. You're going to hear that a lot today. In Christ Jesus. When we are in him, we have this identity, the way that the Father sees us, because when the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. He sees the blood of Jesus. And that's an amazing identity. And we need to be solid in that, because guess what? Jesus is coming back, right? And he's coming back for a perfect church, his bride, right? Without spot or wrinkle. And we are called to be the end times army. And so we can't be blown around by every doctrine wind of teaching, right? Or by the lies that come to us, the lies that, oh, you're nothing, or you're this, or you're that. How are we going to stand up and fight if we don't know who we are and what we have, what belongs to us as born-again believers in Jesus? Amen? So that's the why. Okay, let's dig in. We're going to just unpack the book of, not the whole book, the chapter, Ephesians 1, because this tells us, this is a letter that Paul wrote to the devoted, faithful followers in the church of Ephesus to express who they are, to tell them who they are in Christ Jesus. Jesus did it all on the cross. Amen? He did it all for us. This is all about what he did, not about what we have to do, because it's already done on the cross. His blood was shed for us 2,000 years ago so that we could have this amazing identity, this rich inheritance. And so it's not about us living up to a standard or performing or striving to be that, because Jesus already was that for us. He already did it. He loves us so much that he went to the cross. God loves us so much that he sent his son to go to the cross for us, right? And give us this rich inheritance. Okay, so let's dig in. Well, let's pray first. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. It is so rich. Father, there's so many treasures in your word. And we just open wide the doors of our heart today that we may receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would know you better. Transform us today. Help us to renew our minds with your word. Let our just Let us be washed by your word today to take away, to purify and sweep away any lie that we have been believing or that sometimes likes to pop up and threaten who we are in you. But God, we love you today. And we thank you for ministering to each heart and life. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right, buckle up. So, Ephesians 1, we're going to start here and with Paul's greeting. He says, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. And he says, dear friends, my name is Paul. He's introducing himself, who he is. And I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus, the Messiah. So Paul's introducing himself. He was the elect, the chosen one of God, and to be an apostle, right? Wow. Paul, amazing minister of the word of God, who wrote most of the New Testament, and we gain such wisdom from him, from this letter that he wrote to the book of, or to the church of Ephesus, and we can gain so much from it today. So let's go to verse 2. He says, he's telling his why. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. May God himself, the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Heart as Lord and Savior, then you're connected, you're united with him. And that's why you're set apart, and that's why you're holy. It's not about if you live up to some standard of perfection. Jesus and his blood on the cross has made you holy and set apart, right? It's not about your own doing. And so you notice he says, your union with Jesus. In other versions, it says, in Christ, that you are in Christ. We are in him. We're not out there floundering on our own. We are in Christ. Amen? Amen. So he sets up this letter with the desire that God himself, the Heavenly Father, he says, of the Lord Jesus Christ, releases grace over you. And grace is released from this word over you today. Grace is that empowering, that ability from God to do something that you need his help to do, right? And it's and he says, and to impart a total well-being, otherwise known as peace. We talk about shalom peace, which is used, it's the Hebrew word shalom, where it means the full peace, where nothing is missing, nothing is broken. And that was primarily used in the Old Testament. And so I found it interesting. I got on a little bit of a rabbit trail here when I was studying this. This word peace, or in the Passion Translation, it says it, to impart total well-being. It's a Greek word that's used in the New Testament, and it looks like the name Irene. It looks like it's E-I-R-E-N-E. And it's very closely related to shalom peace, but it was used in the New Testament. And it's a condition of the law or order resulting in overall prosperity, total wellness. So this is his desire, that he's writing this letter to the church saying that God releases his grace and his total well-being, his total peace, his Irene peace over you. I'm probably saying that wrong. I think it's Irene or something, the way you say it with the accents on the different syllables. Anyway, nonetheless, receive his peace today. Okay, so let's continue on. Verse 3. It says, we're in Ephesians 1, verse 3, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. Okay, Father God has lavished a love gift. Isn't that pretty? For those that like bling bling, it sparkles. Yes, he's given us a love gift, and that is our union with the Lord Jesus. Because, like I said, when God sees us, he sees who? Jesus. If we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he sees Jesus. In the Passion Translation, did you catch it? It says, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ, because we're so closely in union with him, that he sees us wrapped into Christ. So here's our wrapping, our beautiful wrapping that represents all that we have, and it represents our union, beautiful union with the Lord. So go back to what it says that we've been given. Every spiritual blessing. We could just go home after that, right? You're all blessed after receiving revelation of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Okay, so we talk about receiving blessings, and many times we talk about receiving material blessings, and God is a good, generous Father, and he wants to give us material things, you know, things that that we're praying and believing for or working hard for, right? But this is talking about not material things, not praying for a new car or a house or material things. This is talking about spiritual blessings. This is blessings and richness, eternal blessings that we can't see, the ones that last forever. So these are the ones that we should know about, and we should ask for revelation of the Holy Spirit of what these spiritual blessings, because it says we've been given every spiritual blessing has been given, lavished upon you. Wow. Okay, so we're going to open this up and see what spiritual blessing we have in here. Like we already read in verse 3, we are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Say to your neighbor, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed with everything divine from the heavenly realm. It belongs to you, right? Blessed means to be made holy or to be consecrated. It means to be endowed with divine favor and protection. There is divine favor, divine protection over your life because of your union with Jesus. That is some good news today. Father God gave us this love gift of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Praise the Lord. So we're going to unwrap these, take them out one at a time, and see what these other spiritual blessings are. Because when you read this, it's like you read verse 3, oh, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. Well, what are they? Okay, now keep reading, and he's going to tell us, okay? So we advance on to what comes after 3? Number 4, praise the Lord, my mind is blessed. Okay, praise the Lord, número 4. We could do it in Spanish. Okay, so let's see what our next one is. Our next gift is we are chosen. We are chosen. Let's read verse 4. And in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. So that's a bonus one. I didn't write that down, but in the Passion Translation, it says we're also ordained. So we're chosen and we are ordained. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about chosen. If somebody chooses you, that expresses their love, right? Their desire to be with you. What about, does anyone relate to this? And maybe we can, you know, we can pray for you after if you need inner healing from those physical education gym classes in elementary school where they would pick two captains, right? this hasn't been to anyone except me. And the two like strongest kids are the two captains, and they pick their team for kickball or whatever you're playing, right? And they pick all the kids, like all the most athletic or the most physically able kids are the ones that get chosen, right? Do they still do this in school, Kaylee? Yeah? Okay. All right. Well, so I was usually very enthusiastic, but I wasn't super like athletically inclined. So I would be usually one of the last, like, let's say five kids to be chosen, right? And so think about this word chosen. The kids that are chosen first feel like, oh yeah, I was the first one to be picked. Like they want me on their team. We're going to be the winning team, right? Because the captains are looking for who can be strong, who can, you know, they're choosing their winning team, right? God has chosen us. He's chosen you to be on the winning team, to be with him, to be in union. Praise the Lord. And it says before the foundation of the universe, say what? Like he was thinking about us, you know, desiring us to be with us and desiring that relationship of intimacy before he even created the universe, it says. That is some love. That is some love. So the next time, you know, the enemy, he's defeated, by the way, he's the defeated one, you know, tries to get you to meditate on this lie of you're nobody, you're not wanted, you're rejected. You know, maybe you had a bad experience with your parents or your family, and they don't pay you any attention, and you do not feel chosen. Well, guess what? The Father of the universe says, I chose you. I chose you. I picked you out. Before I created the universe, you were chosen. And that's the way the Father sees us. And that's part of, just one part of this amazing love gift that he wants us to get revelation really down in our hearts so that we can walk that way, that I'm chosen. I am chosen of God. I was chosen first to be on the winning team. So it doesn't matter what happened when they were picking kickball teams way back in third grade, okay? And we can pray for you. It's okay, because I can relate. Praise the Lord. He redeems all things, right? The Father chose us. He chose to wipe us clean and put us on the winning team, no matter what anyone else says. Praise the Lord. That is a good gift. Say, I am chosen.
I'm chosen.
Hallelujah. Okay, moving on. Let's see what our next one is. Kaylee, would you like to help me pick out our next gift here? Let it be a good one. Okay. We are adopted. I love this one. Praise the Lord. We are adopted. Let's read the verse. I'm going to read 5 and 6 together just because it's a like whole continuous thought, and I don't want to break up the thought so you can hear it fluently. Ephesians 1, 5 and 6. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Okay, let's unpack it. We are adopted. You know, in John 14, 18, it says that Jesus was saying to his disciples before he's about to leave, right, before his departure, and he's telling them of the coming Holy Spirit, that he's going to give them this gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So imagine an orphan that could relate to the last, what we talked about, being rejected, being abandoned. Like, nobody wants me. My family, whoever, has abandoned me. But God said, I'm sending Jesus. And then Jesus said to his disciples, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you as orphan. You won't be out there roaming on your own with no sense of belonging. Right? Or also no sense of identity. Because somebody that feels like they're an orphan, not only feels like they don't belong and they feel rejected because nobody has accepted them and everyone has, you know, neglected them or abandoned them, they also have a lot of questions about, well, who am I? Like, where did I come from? What was my mom and my dad like? Like, what are my origins? So, there's a lot of confusion about their identity, about who they are, right? And God says, no, I sent Jesus to adopt each one of you. So it doesn't matter what your experience on this earth has been, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, with your earthly parents, because he says, even though your mother and your father may forsake you, I have adopted you. He says, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That is amazing news. That is a spiritual gift. It's one of the spiritual gifts that we have been given. We belong to the Father's heart. Each one of you belongs to the heart of the Father. So that orphan feeling, that orphan spirit has to go. When we get a real revelation that we belong to him, we have security in the Father because he chose me and I belong to him. I'm part of his family. Did you know that, I believe this applies to all of the United States, that, you know, a parent's rights can be terminated for various reasons for their child, for parenting that child, right? But when a child is adopted, that adoptive parent legally, by law, cannot sever their rights to that child. So once that adoptive parent has adopted that child and it's been signed off and it's legal, they cannot sever their rights. And that's the same with Father God. He says, I do not sever my rights to you. I have adopted you. We've been grafted in. You belong to me, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. Hallelujah. That is some good news for us. Let us get revelation of that, Holy Spirit. Okay. So then verse 6, which we already read, has another gift inside it. Let's open that one. Don't you love Christmas morning, like opening all these gifts? We are accepted. We are accepted. Verse 6. So in the Passion Translation, it doesn't say that word accepted. It describes the acceptance of Jesus. It says, for the same love that he has for the beloved. Who's the beloved? Anyone know? Does it say that? It says, yeah. It says the beloved one, comma, Jesus. Jesus is the beloved. Other versions say you are accepted in the beloved, that we have been accepted in Jesus. But this says for the same love he has for Jesus, the beloved, he has for us. Wait, what? The same love that God has for his only begotten son, the Savior of the world, he has that same love for me? Wow, let that sink deep. Let that sink deep. I am accepted in the beloved as much as God's son, Jesus. That's heavy. That's a heavy revy right there. Heavy revelation. Praise the Lord. He makes me accepted. It's all through Jesus. It's all because of my union with him that I am accepted. Not, again, not going back to works, not for anything I can earn or do, but it's because I made a decision to choose Jesus. And then he says, you are accepted. I've accepted you. Maybe you don't think that you've done anything to earn that or get that acceptance, or to be well-pleasing to God. Well, guess what? Neither did Jesus. Before Jesus did any miracles or did any public act of service, it talks about this in Mark 1, God called Jesus his beloved, right? And he had John the Baptist baptized him, and the Holy Spirit as dove rested on him. And he said, you are my son in whom I am well pleased. That was before God, Father God was expressing his acceptance of Jesus, even before he did any work, before he did any ministry. His acceptance was over him. And that is the same acceptance and the timing of God's acceptance of us, even before we recognize Jesus, right? It was his pleasure and will to do this. It was pleasing. And that is repeated several times throughout this chapter, that it was his pleasure, goodwill. It said that about the adoption, and it says it here, and when it's talking about us being accepted in the beloved. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Verse 7. What's the next one? Who wants to help me? Who are you pointing to? Okay. Rora, you want to help me get the next card out on the top? Let's see what it is. Okay, just get the top one, because then we'll be going out of order. Let's see. I did put a numbers on them. Oh, you got the right one. Awesome. Good job. We are, she was like digging to the bottom. Praise the Lord of our beautiful gift box here with the bling bling. Okay, we are redeemed. We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Verse 7. Let's read it. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. We have been redeemed. Now, the idea of redemption, that idea of being redeemed, has to do with like being a slave. That a slave is death, being separated from God. We owed something that we couldn't pay because we could never measure up to the law, right? Could you measure up to the law? No, me neither, right? We owed a debt that we couldn't pay for our sin. So we were sold into slavery, the slavery of sin, and Jesus, guess what? He paid it all. He bought us back with his blood. He paid the price for our sin, taking our place. He redeemed us from slavery to the life of the flesh. We were chained to the life of the flesh and what seemed right to us in our physical five senses, right? But he redeemed us so that we would become children of God, washed in his blood, redeemed. Praise the Lord. That is amazing news. You know, in the Old Testament, it says, and this was part of the law, that there was, let's say, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There was no forgiveness, right? And that's why they had, I'm reading through Leviticus right now, and oh my goodness, all the different kinds of the sacrifices, the sin offering, the guilt offering, the peace offering, and how, you know, the very specific instructions about how the blood had to be applied. But it was because without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness. Well, Jesus was that lamb that was slaughtered for us. He poured out his blood so that we could be bought back to his love, right? To his freedom and be free of our slavery, the slavery of sin. That's a good time to say amen. That's a good one. Hallelujah. That is some good stuff. So if the devil is trying to torment you about your past and what you've done, guess what? I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. The blood of Jesus is against you, devil. So back off. Right? We are cleansed. We're purified by his blood. Right? Take that, devil. Jesus totally canceled out our sins. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, another gift. Another helper over here? Who wants to help me over on this side? Okay, the next gift.
It's stuck.
It's stuck. Let's see. Get it unstuck. Two for one. We are heirs. We are heirs, like we've received an inheritance. Oh, I jumped ahead. Guess what? That's verse 11. Because we have a few verses that don't have an actual gift attached to them, but it's like, it's important stuff. So let's read it and talk about it. And then we'll get to we are heirs. So we are at verse 8 and 9. It says, this superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. Wow. His over the top, it says, super abundant grace is at work powerfully in me. It unleashes, his grace unleashes the power in me that I wouldn't have on my own, correct? He equips us with that grace from the deposits that are given to me. When I was born again, the deposit that was given to my spirit. He gives revelation to me of Jesus, of who Jesus is, and that he's pleased. There's that pleasing again. Pleased that Jesus lives in me. He's the hope of glory in us. And that's the mystery, that Jesus, the hope of glory, lives in you, lives in me. Praise the Lord. We're going to advance to verse 10. It says, and because... And is another idea, right? Another thing. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and through earth. All in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. It's God's plan, and he will complete it. God is not a procrastinator, and God always finishes what he starts. He will complete the plan. He will bring it to fullness in his right time. Amen. His intention is to bring the whole universe together at the appointed time and bring it into subjection to Jesus Christ. That's what this verse is telling us. Jesus is Lord, and his plan will reign supreme. Not a supreme pizza. His plan will reign supreme. Amen? Hope I'm not making you hungry yet. Okay, so verse 11, for sake of time, I'm speeding up a little here. So verse 11 is that we are heirs. We are heirs to him. Verse 11 says, through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Wow. Through our union, we've been claimed by God. He claimed us. He said, this one belongs to me. This one is mine. We have an inheritance, and we, because we belong to him, we are his children, we inherit what he has. We get an awesome, rich inheritance, and it is good. We are heirs to the throne of God, to King Jesus. Wow, 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 that humbles me. That humbles me. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled. It doesn't fade away just like the word of God. It's reserved. This place in heaven is reserved for you. That's what we are inheriting, right? An eternal life in heaven, living forever with Jesus. Wow, wow, wow is right. And it says God's purposes, which in which he has purposed, they shall come to pass. Jesus is Lord, again, we say, and his purposes will come to pass, and we inherit at the fullness of time, we inherit what he has promised, eternal life, eternal with him forever. Good news, good stuff. Okay. Do we have another one? Yes, we do. Verse 12 and 13. We are included. We are included. Verse 12 and 13, again, I'm going to read these two together because it just flows into one thought. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, remember this was written to Jewish people, would be the first to believe in the anointed one and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of him, when you, who are not Jews, heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Okay, that's our next one. That's the preview of the next gift. But let's talk about what it says first in verse 13, that we are included. Us Gentiles, we were grafted in, right? The gospel, the intention of God's heart was to save, for the Jewish people to recognize Jesus. Well, he's still working on that, right? Praise the Lord. And that's why we need to continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Israel. But he didn't leave us out. We have been grafted in. We have been included in his plan for his beloved people. And he loves us also. It's similar to the idea that we have been chosen. We haven't been neglected. He didn't just choose the Jewish people and leave us out. We are included in his heart, in his plan, in his purpose, and his will. And then it says, in also going further on in verse 13, it says, we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. We've been stamped with a seal. You know, when you buy a product, a lot of times there's some kind of stamp or seal. If a company makes something, produces something, there's going to be, you know, writing on it, a code, a name to mark that this is mine. This belongs to me. This was my creation. This is my pertinence, right? It belongs to me. In that pales in comparison to us being stamped with the Holy Spirit. This shows ownership, that Father God stamped us, marked us, other versions say. He marked us with the seal of the Holy Spirit, saying, this one belongs to me. This one I have left my Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the advocate, the one who helps and walks alongside of them, that guides and leads them. I have given that helper to my people, right? The ones that recognize me. We've been stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit. That was the last one here, verse 14. We are stamped with a seal. So many gifts. It's Christmas morning. We have so many gifts in him. And then it says, going on in verse 14, he is given to us like an engagement ring as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope, promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. So if you're married, maybe you ladies were given an engagement ring, right? Santos proposed to me and I received a beautiful engagement ring. It's like the promise of what to come, saying, maybe he would say that, she's mine. That ring on her finger means she's mine and I'm going to marry her, right? And so it's the promise of what to come. So I love how the Passion Translation says it, is that that it's the hope promise of a future inheritance. That's what, when he has stamped us, marked us with the seal of the Holy Spirit, it's like saying, it's like we've been given that engagement ring of, I'm taking back my bride, Father God says, right? When he sends Jesus back to take us, his church, his bride, it's the promise of what is to come. Hallelujah. And then I just want to summarize, just give you a little summary of, I am going to read it through, but we're not going to unpack each part of it for sake of time. But then verses 15 through the end, through 23, is a prayer. And it's a beautiful prayer. You should start it in your Bibles or highlight it in your, you know, Bible app, that this is a prayer that you can pray over yourself, and this is a prayer that you can pray for others. Because Paul is saying here, let them get revelation of what they have. We've been given all of these amazing gifts. Every spiritual gift in the heavenly realms has been given to us, right? And so sometimes we pray for things that we already have. We've already been given the love of the Father, forgiveness of the Father, right? It's good to repent of our sins and for a certain specific thing, ask forgiveness, and he washes us clean. But then we can receive it and move on. But a lot of times we're praying for something that we already have. So Paul's prayer here is that their eyes would be opened, that they would get revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know what they have as my beloved people. Because when we get that revelation, we will hold our heads high and we will walk as the end times army, the spotless bride of Jesus. And that's what he wants for us. So I'm going to just read, I'm going to read the whole letter over you. And we're going to close with that. And then we're going to take communion. What a better way. It's like the cherry on the cake today. But I want to just read this fluently to you and let the word just wash over you and allow the Holy Spirit to just bring you revelation of everything, all the richness of Christ that we have been given. So Ephesians 1, it says, "Dear friends, my name is Paul, and I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus, the Messiah. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. May God himself, the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with our hearts. And in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he has unveiled his secret desires to us. The hidden mystery of his long-range plans, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all ages finally reaches its climax. When God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the anointed one and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of him, when you, who are not Jews, heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He is given to us like an engagement ring, as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we all have redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. Because of this, since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love toward all his devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the highest place of honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is. Amen. Why don't you stand and let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this word, this chapter that is so rich, that tells us of the richness of all that we have been given. Oh, Father God, we ask that you would give us, just like we prayed, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would know what we've been given. I pray for each life, each heart, and everyone under the sound of my voice, that they would understand who we are, that we are included, that we are redeemed, that we are forgiven, that we are chosen, that we are highly favored. Thank you, Father God, you did it all for us. Thank you, Lord, that we are heirs, that we are stamped by the seal of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for that word of faith rising up in us as we get our minds renewed to it, that we will walk in that identity, that richness of all that we've been given. And I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.